Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited Q1 FY24 results conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi everyone. I welcome you all to Agrotech Foods Q1 FY24 results conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. K.P.N. Srinivas, CFO. Without wasting much of our time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sachin Gopal for his opening comment and followed by Q&A session. So over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ajay, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to be with us today. We'll walk you through the Q1 results, our thoughts on it, and after that, we'll open it for Q&A. All right. So we've already sent the presentation for today on both BSE and NSE, so you should be able to access it. So I'll just walk you through the presentation. So investor update, July 27, 2023. It's up on our website also. Company strategic vision to be the best performing, the most respected foods company in India, and that's what we are tracking towards. And I think you'll see that we continue to make very steady progress towards this. If you go to the next page, that is Q1 FY24, key performance highlight. Overall, I think steady foods growth, improving margins. So Q1 foods revenues of 103 crores were up about 10% versus prior year. So they did bounce back from the 3% that it had dropped to in Q4 last year, which was due to the fact that Omicron was there in the country in the months of January and February 2022, right, as we had mentioned to you. So it was certainly helped by the return to growth, some growth in ready-to-cook, but also impacted by our spreads performance, also which we'll talk about a little more. Gross contribution, that is net sales less raw material less packing material, which many of you refer to as gross profit, ended up at about 38% for the total company, with foods as a historical level of about 46%. So as we mentioned to you, we believe a good foods company which can deliver a healthy EBITDA margin needs to be in the 48%-49% range, right? Best-in-class companies do work with that because after that, if you're able to maintain the rest of your cost at about all costs, other costs of the company in the range of about 30%, then you deliver a good EBITDA margin. So I think our foods margin was historically, as we mentioned earlier to you also, in the region of 46%. And that is, if you will, the level that we are back at, and we will continue to make progress to make sure that it remains healthy. It's very important for us in the foods portfolio to have businesses which have this or can deliver us an aggregate of this kind of a gross contribution, right? And that is why we split it. For example, some of you say, "But why are you including something like oats and staples?" The reason is that we don't believe those businesses can ever give this kind of a gross contribution in terms of the total portfolio that we have. It's impossible. So that's why we put it in a category like premium staples where it can probably deliver 23%-24% gross contribution. The overall level also, of course, as you all know, you would have seen there is a declining trend in commodity prices. So right now, we are moving downward on the price drop. We are dropping prices as and when it works in the market. So I would say there's probably some elevation in the oils part right now, which is helping you. Probably, realistically, we're at about 36%-37%, something like that, right? And we'll but obviously, as we increase the share of foods, this obviously also has a positive that has a positive impact on this. The strong gross contribution also improves gross margin. And some of you have raised this issue. Right now, you're reporting both. You always used to report gross margin, and we added gross contribution. And I want to tell you why we added that. Because about last year or 18 months ago, when commodity prices started to really spike up, gross margin, which is less contribution, less manufacturing overheads and freight, became inadequate for us to monitor the business because we needed to ensure that we were taking pricing in line with raw material, or if we were not, we needed to know why we were not. There would be a strategic reason, which we did in some cases. So that is why we added this into our, the lens through which we run the business. And it is actually a very, very good lens. So that is why we are showing, we continue to show this to you. We'll figure out during the course of this year, how do we improve our reporting of gross contribution, gross margin, so on, so forth, so it becomes better for you, right? But overall, strong gross contribution improves gross margin by about 500 basis points to about 23%. So we added about 10 crores of gross margin, and that is the same number that we've always referred to in our annual reports and directors' reports. Our A&P investments were raised during the quarter by about 2 crores versus prior year. This will be higher than what you see in the P&L because some of these advertising and promotion expense items would be elsewhere in the P&L as per whatever are the accounting guidelines that we need to follow as a company, right? But this is the incremental by which we increase the investment behind the brand. We started media investment on Pops, our breakfast series, as you will see from the presentation. We had a maiden investment of about 50 lakhs in June. And then we also did some in-store displays for Duo and Pops, which are working well. And we will continue to, you know, walk a tightrope and the right balance for it, hopefully. Our quarter one SG&A was higher than prior year by about 3.5 crores. That's partly because there was some reversal of management incentives in the prior year in the first quarter, and partly due to higher secondary freight and travel expenses, right? Travel expenses are running higher than last year, but are now starting to find the right level. Travel costs have gone up, but I think, as always, we think we should be in good control of it. And therefore, profit before tax and profit after tax are up versus last year by about 6 crores and 5 crores. And that really reflects the impact of the gross margin as above. You can see 10 crores, less 2 crores, less 3.5 crores. And one-time benefit of loss of profit, business interruption claim that we got on account of the Unnao factory fire. So that 1.1 crores is also there. And we've also mentioned it in the most of the accounts. Okay. So that's really the summary for the quarter. Without any further ado, we'll go to the category-wise highlights. So this is just a chart on performance. Highlights by category, all the categories that we compete in. In the ready-to-cook, you can see last year, for the last part, we were in decline. We were, because, you know, we were competing with a very high base of COVID. I don't think all those base pieces have entirely gone away, but they're starting to be less significant than what they were, right? So there's obviously been a gradual opening of offices. There's been a gradually starting of schools. It varied by geography. Some of them, probably even in quarter two, FY23, it was happening. So there is some dynamics at play here. But overall, I would say it's the big impact that we saw last year, right, that is behind us now, and therefore we are now in a positive space. Steady levels of media. I think during this entire COVID period, we made sure that we were present on media. You can see that in the data and the numbers. Combined with distribution expansion and retail demos provided support. And with the change in trends in RTC popcorn, we are now reinitiating focus on other elements of RTC, including sweet corn and meal kits, right? Clearly, when we had such a huge uplift during COVID, right, and those were big bases that we needed to be working against, right? It was important for us to put a lot of organization focus on ready-to-cook popcorn. I think that overall it has done the job, and we therefore feel now that we have the available bandwidth to be able to look at other areas. So this is why this comment. And we are also initiating the launch of our cocoa-based offerings and plant meats in FY24. So many of you were asking this question earlier, you know, because in plant meats, we have brought in some equipment, and I think we are good for a launch in FY24 now, hopefully sooner than later. Okay. So that's on ready to cook. On the ready-to-eat segment, that's the next page. If you could please go to that page. You can see here, continued strong volume-driven growth. And that's the great part about even our ready-to-cook part. Or all our businesses, everything is all volume-driven. Right? There's not much pricing growth here. And that sets us up well for current year, next year, and all the years. It was very important for us to navigate through last year's commodity spikes by ensuring that we did not compromise on our continued sustained volume growth of the business, right? We need that 15 to 18%. 18% is our CAGR, right? That's what we need. And that has to be volume driven on a long-term basis. You can get some growth in the short term through pricing, but then you do pay a price for it in terms of volume. And I think we navigated through that decently. And therefore, you continue to see growth here. Most of this growth is driven by ready-to-eat popcorn, where we seem to be having, I think, some benefit also of that media support that we put behind Act 2 Ready to Cook, right? So that's good. Sweet snacks continue to increase share. Sweet share of RTE was 8% in quarter one as compared to 3% in quarter one in the prior year. So quarter one, obviously, because of summer, the whole sweet part tends to be a little muted. Also, when you include things like our chocolate crunchies there, so we don't want to drive it too hard. But now, as it cools off, the weather is more favorable to us, we can drive it faster. So if you remember, I think I would have mentioned a figure of about 11% at the end of the year. That's because the weather in January, March is a lot better than April, May, June, right? And therefore, I think we are on track for the number that we're looking for in excess of about 15% for sweet snacks in the current year. Work is also underway on further innovation behind sweet snacks. You can expect to see more activity from us now in the balance for the next three quarters of the year. The impact of greater scale in RTE popcorn, increasing share of sweet, and the greater overhead absorption is therefore significantly enhancing the profitability of RTE snacks. As all of you know, RTE snacks are the conveyor belt of the company. They are what takes us deep down. And that was the role we emphasized. But the challenge always was, how do we make sure that it's profitable, that it's not dilutive in absolute terms, right? Which it was in the early days because we set up all this infrastructure, and we are making very, 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 very good progress, I would say, in the current year and last year to make it a good business where we can say, "Okay, let's go as far as we can, and it doesn't impact our profitability." So we'll continue to drive both scale of savory and share of sweet to create a profitable sweet and salty snacks business. So that's pretty much it on ready-to-eat snacks. We'll go now to spreads and dips. As you can see here, in the first couple of quarters, particularly quarter two, we got a big, big growth last year because we had taken this price correction on the large packs of peanut butter, and therefore, we got almost up 30% on volume. And then in quarter three and quarter four, that narrowed down. And you can see quarter four has been pretty much flat in volume and about -2% in value. So we talked to you last time. We think that on an aggregate basis, we were fine last year in terms of share. But what is possible, and this is our read from whatever we see in the trade, what is possible is that our share of large packs increased disproportionately, but we lost some share in the medium-sized packs, the 350-gram, 450-gram packs. So we've addressed the large pack issue. Even with big customers now, some of our largest customers, we have more than 80% share of the large packs. That's what we would call the 1-kg pack, though it's a broad term reference to 924, 1 kg, 1.1 kg. So we're in a very strong position, and we have now taken the adequate steps to make sure that even in the 300-350-gram packs, we are able to drive share very aggressively. So we had talked to you last time that on an ongoing basis, we'd rather focus on sweet spreads. So initially, it's going to be sweet peanut butter, and that's exactly what we've done. So we've launched a very, very good offering and with the right margin profile at about 99 rupees for 300 grams for honey-roasted peanut butter. And we've also launched a 10 rupee SKU, the first blister pack, I would say, probably the only blister pack for peanut butter outside of the USA. I have not seen a blister pack for peanut butter anywhere in the world other than in our factory, in the Panacea factory, when we used to make peanut butter. And I think, if I remember correctly, that used to be made exclusively for Walmart, but I could be wrong. Anyhow, that plant is no longer with Conagra because Conagra exited that business. But I would say it's a great thing. We've always had a 10 rupee SKU. We had a sachet, but the sachet probably doesn't lend itself to consumption of a spread as well as a blister cup does, right? Because a blister cup replicates the nature of taking it out from a bottle, so on and so forth, right? Now, that is not to say that sachets don't work. You can find, say, jams in sachets. But I think in general, in the case of spreads, that is what you see in the HoReCa. If you guys have breakfast at a restaurant in a hotel, they will have blister packs. They'll have blister packs of Amul butter. They will have blister packs of jams. Sometimes in airlines, you'll get them. I certainly remember getting used to getting them in Air India. And you'll get blister packs of different items. So this is the first one that outside North America that I can see where it is sold. And we've put it at a very aggressive price, a low unit price of 10 rupees for 30 grams, which is more or less the standard serve. And we think that this will take us to the next leg of distribution expansion for peanut butter. And that's what we mentioned to you in a call last time, We believe these 10 rupee SKUs are very important. They're impossible, I think, for anybody to do using a third party, unless they lose money, right? And that stuff, right? So we see this as a great benefit. If any of our competitors invest in peanut butter, we think it will play in our favor, right? And we will be able to get the benefit on our 10 rupee packs in addition to whatever is our own advertising support. And the other part, which is the 300 gram pack, that should take, it's very effective, should replicate exactly what we've done on the 1 kg pack. We entered on the 1 kg pack, we came in aggressively, we took share, right? It's very difficult for anybody to compete with us. And now with this 300 gram pack at 99, we're going to do exactly that with the middle of the segment. So this this product, the bottle, the 99 rupee bottle started rolling out about a month and a half ago, and the low unit packs have just started to go into the market. Right? Starting, I think, July, they also moved the advertising towards, you know, from a promotion aspect onto the 99 rupees, the sweet peanut butter, and this is great for us, right? So when we told you last time we intend to move up the pyramid, that intention is translated into reality, right? And we are moving from base peanut butter to sweet peanut butter. We expect these twin actions to be adequate to address the soft start to FY24 and accelerate growth. It may take a little while to show up in our numbers because, as you can see, in quarter two last year, we were up by 30%. So that we must have grown by a very, very high number, right? But this obviously tapered off as we went into quarter three and quarter four. So we expect that quarter two, we will see a positive impact, but you will see the full impact of the growth as we meander down into quarter three and quarter four, right? But more than enough, our intention is to provide advertising support to Honeyglow's peanut butter to drive trial and expansion of distribution through the 10 rupee pack. Expansion work continues underway on the protein segment, gym detailing, selling. This is going to be, as I've mentioned to you earlier also, it's going to be a long haul. It will be a steady process, but we are doing it. We were in the trade demo yesterday. We're starting to see it. We will obviously, you know, we won't get everything right on day one, but we are starting to cover up this segment. Chocolate spreads also starting to look good. We are going to follow some of these peanut butter strategies on chocolate spreads. But I would say on shelf today, if you see, in some of our customers, we probably have more than a 10% value share of the chocolate spreads category. And because most of our business is coming from smaller packs, which is attracting new users, probably our share of transactions is already north of 20-25%. Right, so I think that's a happy space to be in, and we're going to expand the portfolio a little bit more in terms of price point offerings. And if we are able to do that, then I think it should set us up. Remember, we've always told you we need each one of these businesses to reach about 20-25 crores before we can consider putting advertising support on them. So this business will also move towards that. It may take a little more while, but it's right there. And we will continue to see this business with appropriate portfolio development. Okay, so I would request you then to go to the next page, breakfast cereal. You can see here continued solid growth, strong growth momentum. Pops centerfield cereal are really powering the growth for ATFL. Pricing taken without any impact on momentum. We reduced some grammage and increased the pricing, therefore price per kilo, and that's working well. Helping ensure that we continue to have the right margin for the business. Our assessment is that our Pops centerfield product is the most widely distributed centerfield product in the country, right? So, we've had a number of competitors, some of who have come, some of who have gone, but we are not the largest by volume today. I think the largest by volume today would be Kellogg, because, you know, they sell a lot of product in the large packs in large stores. But when it comes to distribution and new consumer acquisition, I think we are miles ahead. So we're in a very, very strong shape. And this is a very important piece because In the short, medium, and long term, the only way to bring innovation to the extruded cereals category is through centerfield, right? So when you have a extruded cereal, right, there is a limitation to how much innovation you can do on it, right? You can change the shape, you can, you know, have a round cup from a shell, you can make a moon or a star or something else, right? But you can't do much to the product, right? Your hands are tied, right? Although there is still one or two things that they're going to do, but I think it's very, very limited. Whereas in centerfield cereals, the runway for innovation is endless. Because you have a shell and you have a liquid chocolate inside. That you can take and do anything with it. Like we've already done. We've got a cookie and cream, we've got a hazelnut, we've got a regular chocolate sauce, we've got all kinds of things. There's no limit to what you can do. So I think this is a beautiful, it's absolutely beautiful position for us to be in. And we will have leadership of the Centerfield series. We'll do it step by step. You can see the screenshot there is from our television advertising that we started in June. So we'll be advertising this product in June and in July, and then we'll probably do some more months, and then we'll take a break because it's cost a reasonable distribution figure of, you know, about, because we have about 100,000 stores. This was the right level to put a couple of crores into media, and then it will help us to boost the distribution further, and then we can come back later and see, okay, do we need to boost this or not. So we'll be tracking the impact of that going forward of the media. As you mentioned to you, we've reworked the shelf product also. That is an offering at 10 and 5. We do need 5, and it's very important, and we can't deliver 5 in a Centerfield cereal product. It's not possible, right? The number of trips to the north are far too few. So this is also important because as we advertise the Pop Centerfield cereal, we expect to get some benefit on the shelf product as well. So that the rollout of that is also started now, and you know it's gradually going to be extended across the country. And so therefore, kind of, in a sense, our overall cereal portfolio is really very, very much near completion. I think the only missing segment is now muesli, and that also is ready, but it's just that, you know, we have a lot of priorities and we have to place those priorities as we go to market. Our objective will be to continue delivering strong volume growth to capture operating leverage benefits across the supply chain and improve gross margin. Okay. So with that, we'll just go to our next slide, which is on chocolate. So you can see here the volume growth of about 38% and value growth reasonably similar to that. Duo continues to steadily gain distribution and acquire consumers as reflected in the volume growth figures. We mentioned to you that we had some supply chain issues earlier. I think more or less the supply chain rhythm is established, and we told you, I think, by quarter one this year we get done, and that's, I would say, correct. And we are on track. We told you that we'll expand the chocolate capacity in our Jhagadia factory to, you know, to be able to support a business of 100 crore plus, and we are on track for that. I would say most of the supply chain disruptions that we saw last year on account of the Ukraine war and, you know, gas and its consequent domino impact on many manufacturing industries, I think all that is passed now. And so we are on track, and within the year we'll ensure that this is accomplished, so that we intend to start advertising Duo, but then you know that will be the first phase. But then, as we have said, that you know in the near term, this is a very big part of our growth figure for the projection. As you can see, give or take a bit, we are at about 500 crores right now. But in our plan to get, as we talked to last year November, a plan to get from 500 to 1000 crores, chocolate will play a very big part, right? Chocolate and dairy to cook, because they're both great businesses with the right margin profile. And we need to ensure that we have this capacity available. In the near term, right now, our focus is on expansion of distribution, leveraging low unit price packs, and supportive weather with effect from July. That has happened already, so I think that's good. And we will complement this LUP-driven distribution expansion with in-store visibility in larger stores. And target enhanced share of the gifting market with the onset of the festive season. Okay, so with that, if I could just request you to go to the next page, that's on staples. You can see we made one change in the table here. I don't think it's required on an ongoing basis, but this year it's required because of this, impact of the commodity prices and its deflationary impact on a category which is basically pass-through pricing, right? When you pass through the cost, right? So, just changed the nomenclature a little bit. The data is still there and it's completely comparable with what you had earlier. It's just that we've added a row for total volume of staples and total value of staples. And as you can see here, in premium staples, we grew in the quarter by about 5%, and mass staples, we dialed it up a little bit, right, so that we can also ensure that our total revenue figure, which is very important, both from a parent company perspective and also from a distributor's perspective, to support the network and have a healthy distribution network, we dialed it up to about growth of about 49%, giving us a total volume growth of about 9%. And this translated in the premium staples business to about minus 13% in terms of value, and in the mass staples plus 38% in terms of volume, and therefore a total decline in total staples of about 8%, right? So that math makes sense, because About 50-55% of our business, which is now the foods business, grew by about 10%. About 45-50% of our business, which is staples, declined by 8%, and therefore you see a net growth in the business of in the region of about 1%, right? That's broadly the high level math. The strategy that we adopted, I think, has worked very well for us. And mostly, I think the lower price realization that we had in premium oils has been offset by the entry into adjacencies, which is in this case oats and mass oils. And if you add foods to that, then that completes it. So that is why the words partly offset premium oils by adjacencies, i.e. oats and mass oils, right? With the balance coming from foods. We've established a very comprehensive presence in oats by price points per pack, including LUPs, which leverage our popcorn facilities. So we have popcorn capabilities, and you know we are able to make obviously small packs. We make lots and lots of small packs, which we sell at 10 rupees. So you know making oats in those facilities is absolutely no problem. And that's the photo that you see on the right hand side. Those are the ready packs of oats. Nobody else really has it. I mean, if you were to look and say, does anybody have any oats entry standpoint, you know, entry price of about 7.50 rupees, this is what it is, this pack 2 for 15, nobody has it, right? And we've seen time and time again that wherever we have entered categories where we have the ability to expand the category, we always get more share rather than if we just take share from the leader of the category. In this case, we are taking share from the leader also, which is the photograph on the left-hand side, which you see is the 1 kg pack. And you can see that's a lot of oats. All those red and white packs, they are all 1 kg packs of oats. So that's a lot of shelf presence that currently, you know, we would have in this store. And gradually we are ramping this up store by store, and it's going in, I think, very, very well. And so I think we are overall very satisfied with it. Materiality perspective, you could interpret that the entire growth of premium staples is due to oats. So the plus 5% that you see is due to oats, and otherwise premium oil, which is the balance, would be approximately flat versus prior year. So we are also underway, an almond extension is underway. We figured that the Sunroff Heart brand could easily extend into almonds because, you know, it has the right, almonds have the right benefits, so on and so forth. So that is also currently underway. It started in the last 2 weeks or so, and we'll keep you posted on that. Right? These twin benefits of staples expansion really are enhanced procurement scale for food, because we buy almonds anyway, right? We buy oats anyway for granola. We buy almonds anyway for our chocolate-based products. But what it's doing is it's giving us a better price, because we are no longer having to incur that much on freight. We're also able to negotiate better with the vendors. So it's helping us in the P&L of the food business, right? And or will help, you know, as time goes by, and simultaneously giving us the scale that we need so that our distributors' revenues don't go down, as a consequence, their viability is not impacted, right? By the way, because that will also impact our food business. And that's a common problem that retailers or distributors across the world are having, which is that the huge drop in edible oil prices that has happened, right? You've seen the results of some of the companies that came off, 15% growth in volume, 15% decline in revenue, right? So it also obviously has an impact on retailer revenues also, right? So and you know, for everybody their cost is fixed. So or in some cases in some retailers overseas, it's impacted their general merchandise sale, because you know there was high grocery inflation. They're actually happy now with this with the drop, the lowering of commodity prices. So overall, I would say more or less, I think we've been able to address the whole issue of commodity prices and its revenue impact for the first quarter, and it's something that is work in progress. Let's see how it goes in the quarter two. Alright, so with that, we've closed the category reviews. I think it's 229. So I'm going to speedily go to the comparative spending chart, and then we'll open it up for Q&A around the minute's time. So as you can see, snacks, there's been very steady spending behind that too. Frito-Lay and ITC have increased spending, but overall we continue to remain very steady. The next chart is on spreads. Here again, we are very steady. We spent about 1 crore. It's very similar to last year's prior year. And we will continue to spend, you know, at the right level. And only difference is, now the spending is going to be focused more behind sweet spreads in the future. And it will focus on the power SKU, if you will, of 99 rupees and probably at some time even the 10 rupees. So steady spending behind Sunroff spreads. On breakfast cereals, you've seen we've really, the first time is there, Sunrock Pops, the first time we've ever spent money on breakfast cereals. It means that, you know, we feel it's the right time, if we're comfortable spending this money, both from margin perspective and from a scale perspective, right? We have the adequate distribution for it. So it's looking good. Aside from that, not much to report. Go to the next chain, that's on chocolates. A lot of heavy spending continues by competitors. So we are in the process of deciding what is our strategy going to be in chocolate, such that while we are cognizant of the high level of spend that is done by many of these companies, we are able to have a strategy which works for us at our level of scale and our PNL. So we'll talk to you more about that in the quarter two call in October. And edible oils, no significant shifts in spending patterns. You can see it's evident. It's basically the mass oil players who continue to dominate the entire spending. And the premium oils, if you will, in inverted commas, their share of spending continues to decline. Okay. So overall, therefore, quarter one, FY24 summary, food growth increases to 10% in quarter one. This was 3% in quarter three, but that, as you knew, was because of Omicron wave. Ready-to-cook returns to growth with the ending of COVID-19 based impact. It's still complex. I don't think in any indicator ready-to-cook is 100% crystal clear, you know, how much of COVID there not gone. But at least we have passed the hump that we had these huge bases to compete with, and we're done with that. So we've taken care. Now we'll have to see how we transition to the right growth number. Gross contribution looking very good, and obviously foods is back to that 46% odd figure. Impact of lower edible oil prices, it's about 35% odd, you know, kind of if you look at the overall market, was largely offset through growth in foods, adjacencies in premium staples, and higher shipments of mass oil. And we continue to work towards growth acceleration in foods through new categories while delivering steady growth from the base foods. Okay, so that's it really from our side. Shino, anything else you want me to call out?
No.
Okay, all good. Thank you. And so, Yusuf, we can open it for Q&A now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. As always, pleasure to speak to you. Two, three questions from my side. Starting with, now we have inched up close to 50% food contribution. Would you comment in the near term what kind of operating margin you are gunning for and what are the levers is open? Because I think the demand conditions are now improving and I think raw material inflation is also subsiding. So that's the first question. On the capacity side, if there is any new attempt or is there a new capacity which is there and what is the capacity utilization at this point of time? And third, maybe another example that we have been talking, getting the adjacent countries, say Asia. Is there any plans, is there any work which has happened, or if there is any timelines you can see set out that how Bangladesh and Nepal and other markets will develop?
Okay, thank you, Suresh. So we'll take each one of these. See, I think broadly speaking, on the food, here's the concept. We are trying giving a context on the gross contribution. We have said that we need to have our business is capable of delivering about a 48-49% kind of gross contribution figure. We already at 46, some months we touched 47 also. I think probably in June we must have touched 47, right? So I think that means our portfolio is actually very good, right? So if you look at even best-in-class companies, they are in that 48 to 52 on an average. 50% is a very good benchmark. After that, the main thing then is how do you wrap around the rest of all your costs to ensure that, you know, they are in about 30-35% so that you can, you can deliver a good high teens EBITDA margin. Now, I can tell you straight for the food business, that's the key here, which is, let's say we today about business, And you know, we obviously expect, and that's what we talked about in the last November call, how do we get to 1,000 crores? And we've given you the guidelines for that. Now, 1,000 crores, the critical thing for us is to maintain this 46%, 46-47%. Because at 47%, 46%, 48%, give or take a bit, doesn't really matter. You're talking about 470, 480 crores of gross contribution, right? After that, the key is to get our manufacturing cost down. Right, our biggest opportunity going forward is going to be that we are operating at relatively low levels of capacity utilization. Right, that's one. Second also is, aside from the capacity utilization, in many categories it's relatively new for us. Right, these are all categories that we have created and built for ourselves. Right, there is no IPR as such that has got transferred from anywhere. So let's take a look at chocolates. We built the chocolate business from scratch. Right. Now, obviously, therefore, there is a lot of learning which is going on every day, right? How do you get more out of this machine? How do you transfer this product from one part, one section to the other? What is the right way to optimize the productivity of that machine? How do you reduce the level of rejection, right? How do you make sure that in different parts of the line, let's say a product is flowing from creation of the product to the packaging line, how do you ensure that the packaging line is working efficiently? These are all different pieces which obviously a chocolate player would have had a lot of time to do it, right? So the bad news is we don't have this knowledge right now, or we have a part of it. The good news is that we are getting this knowledge every day. As we get this knowledge every day, our manufacturing costs will come down because we'll become more and more efficient in manufacturing the products. So by way of example, we are probably the most efficient on ready-to-cook popcorn because that is the oldest part of our business, right? It's more than 15 years old, right? Or thereabouts. Whereas on a business like chocolates, is relatively very new. It's just 1 or 2 years, you know, and that's how, you know, you go through the early learning phases. So the good news is that it will only improve, right? But yes, there's going to be a learning curve. Nobody figures out how to suddenly make chocolates in 2 months and, you know, and take a share of this 15,000 crore category, but you're on track to do it, right? So, I would say that will be one part. I think there will be some savings in freight as we become more and more efficient, but we are still buying a lot of, we are a reasonably large consumer of trucks right now, relative to our scale, right? Because remember, we sell a lot of ready-to-eat popcorn, and that is very, very voluminous. So I think we already, I would say the benefits we'll get of scale will be much more in manufacturing than in compared to freight. I think in freight there will be some, but the biggest driver of cost reduction is actually going to be in manufacturing as we improve our capacity utilization. See, each one of these brands needs to be in that 200 crore range. We've always told you that. At 200 odd crores, everything starts to look very profitable. And that is true. Ready-to-cook popcorn is already there. And you can see it. It's a very profitable business, right? You're profitable. We are able to sell at low price points, which is difficult for anybody to match. And we continue to have a great business. So each one of these categories will get their shares, and that will be the main driver of margin improvement. After that, what is left? What is left is only SG&A. What we need to do is keep a tight control on SG&A. SG&A, what are the largest components? And largest components are basically employee benefits and travel, right? And there's probably a bit of depreciation in SG&A, but not that much, right? And at the same time, obviously, operating leverage will kick in because these plants, the largest part of the investment in the plants has already been made, which is, you know, the core machinery items. Then the incremental, whatever capacity you need to get from 500 to 1,000 doesn't A, cost that much money, and B, is also not that complex, and C, frankly, is much easier to execute because now you have knowledge of the categories already because you built up the first phase. Okay? Alright, so new capacities, that's the first question. I would say, I think we mentioned it, the bulk of our new capex investments that we are making are in the area of chocolates, right? And that is in the Jhagadia plant. In the other plants, we continue to do some amount of investment, but more of it is in terms of expanding the infrastructure, right? So we already have a lot of capacities, let's say, when it comes to extrusion, but we may not have the warehousing space to be able to handle those extruders to the full extent. So much of the investment that we are making is in that area. Okay. And last is on, if you will, adjacent country. I think we continue to stay focused on Bangladesh. It's an important piece of our our supply chain as well, because we've got a plant there and we use the plant to be able to service Bangladesh, but also we do bring in some goods to India, and we will continue to work on that. Sri Lanka also, I think as the economy bounces back, which it will, and I think maybe there's going to be rupee trade because they had a lot of US dollar issues in the recent past, we will continue to supply. But not, and we do some business in Nepal obviously because that's a neighboring country. But that's it. I think I firmly focused around India, right? And that will remain our core. However, we will continue to be there in our adjacent countries, not with the objective of being revenue drivers for the Indian market, but just to be able to support this and also provide an outlet both ways. Some outlet for us to export in the future and provide an outlet for us to import as we are currently doing. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Kumar from Best Pulse Research and Advisories. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Thanks for the opportunity. For the previous participant, you mentioned that 200 crore category, like spreads is nearing 100 crore, would have crossed 100 crore, chocolate is nearing 100 crore. So my question is on spread. So with this increased competitiveness and once you are introducing the new variants of the new sachets, small packets, what would be the growth rate? I know you can't tell the number at which spreads will grow, but what is your whatever you are seeing from your end, what growth rate do you think the spreads you can see the spreads in the coming 2 to 3 years? In sense to become 200 crore in 2 to 3 years, or it will take much more than that? So that is one question on spreads. And then even in chocolates, when do you think the chocolate will go to 200 crore? I'm not saying exact 3 year or 5 year, but what are you assuming in your internally in the company? Thank you, Sachin.
Okay, thank you. So thank you, Vivek. Yeah. So see, the fact is, the reason why food businesses are beautiful is because they do take time to build, right? But when they are built, it's very difficult for somebody to take away share from you. Very difficult. Right? You can see, even if you see, I showed last 4 quarter results, let's say on a category like spreads, which you talked about. If you see 4 years or so, you see this business is growing at some 10-15%, something like that, right? So these businesses continue to grow, but there will be always ups and downs, right? So you have to look at it from that perspective. Look at 4 year data and see, and it will support whatever we say. See, our algorithm on growth is very clear. We are 18%, if you look at it, the 18% CAGR that we've had over several years is a function of about 10-odd% of the base categories, 10 to 12% coming from the base categories, and the balance, if you will, 6 to 8% coming from the new innovations that we are putting in. Right? So today, for example, our largest base category is ready-to-cook popcorn, and that has been going at 10-11%, whatever the figure, exact figure might be, right? So we expect to see that our spread business will continue to grow. It is also one of our base businesses. It should continue to grow at the region of about 10-odd percent, right? And it could be 11, it could be 12, in a good year it could be 14, but kind of it should give us that base level of growth that we are looking for, with the top-up growth coming from the other categories, right? So in this case, the top-up growth is coming from breakfast cereals, it's coming from chocolates, and it's coming from ready to eat. Okay? And then that's right now with peanut butter, and then obviously as chocolate spreads comes in, that will increase the growth rate of the spreads category in total. Okay? Because that will be additive again. So that will again be a new category. So I would say I won't be able to give you a year, but yeah, all these categories will get there. Right? Okay. And I think the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Right? Remember, we have about a 500 odd crore food business with a 46% gross contribution. There aren't too many companies that have actually achieved that, right? 500 crores of food revenue with a 46% gross contribution. So we just need to be steady and keep working at it. And if we keep at it, we'll get it. So in fact, Shirish had asked this question, I think, one call ago. He said, but why can't we grow at 35? You can grow at 35. You can have an inflated food growth. Suppose we had we treat oats under premium staples, and if we had classified it as a food, the food growth would have been higher. But it's not the right margin profile. Right? You need the right margin profile. That's critical, because remember, we need this growth rate of 15-20%, and we need it with this gross contribution moving 46, 47, 48, 49. We need it to move like that. Okay. I can't tell you precisely whether chocolates will reach 200 crores first or spreads will reach. I think they will both reach 200 crores. But certainly the growth rate of chocolates is going to be much faster than the growth rate of spreads. And the reason for that is simple. It's a 15,000 crore category. We have great products. We have absolutely wonderful products in the count lines that we have, right? And we have obviously also done the pan chocolates, which we include in the ready-to-eat category. So the products are excellent, right? And we are doing all the right things, focusing on LUPs, focusing on the gifting occasions. We haven't got into the tablet or the molded chocolate category, but that will also happen in due course of time. Not today, not this year, but let's see. It will take time, but we'll get there. So I would say I won't be able to give you a specific timeline, but be assured that all of these are underway and happening, right? And on spreads, I think people have asked me this question specifically, so you have a lot of competition. Yeah, but don't worry about it, right? We had at one time 40 competitors in instant popcorn. Today, we hardly have any. I mean, there's nobody really worth our talking about as a threat. So I would say, yes, people will come. People, when they see growth, they come in. They see the category growing. But very few of them have the tenacity to stay on, right? And that is where we win, right? So you'll be seeing the same picture probably after a few years, and you say, "Oh, by the way, there was a time when we had so many competitors," but they won't be there. Okay? Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Zakir Nasir from Nasir Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I think you spoke about the competition in the popcorn market and how you've been able to sustain in the recent past. But could you please share your thoughts on the competition from Reliance Retail? I mean, especially since we are aggressively trying to expand their business in this space and other startups in the industry in your other categories. And how do you perceive the competitive landscape, and what strategies do you plan to adopt to stay ahead of the market?
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Vishay?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay, fine. So see, we will always continue to have new competitors, right? The thing about, I think, the FMCG market or the CPG market is that it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to build, right? We today have a coverage of a little under 500,000 stores, right? And it's taken us time to build it. You can't just write a check and get that distribution, right? It happens store by store. It happens city by city, and it takes a lot of time. And that is why that is one of the biggest moats that any company has, right? All the large ones have, right? Because once you've established that moat, it's very, very difficult to recreate it. You can probably count the number of companies who are like us, who built up a 500,000 stores, if you will, coverage in the last 15 years. There aren't very many. It's very difficult to accomplish, right? Because it requires a great delicate balance of having the right portfolio, having the right price point, having the right people in the organization, getting on board with distributors, making sure the retailing happens, managing large productivity of large numbers of people who are out on the street every day. It's a very time-intensive, and it's a very painstaking process, right? So I think a lot of competitors, whether they are large conglomerates or they are small DTC players, would like to do it, but it's extremely difficult. Meaning it's so difficult that it is near impossible, right? So we are not at all worried about any of these. And you don't have to take my word for it. Why don't you do you can maybe use ChatGPT or whatever and see how many companies have built a 500,000 coverage in the last 15 years in India. It's very difficult, okay? So it's a nice moat. It's a very nice moat to have. And that's what we have already built partly, and I think we will continue to build that. Now, going forward, the only difference is going to be that, and I'm not talking about this right now because we are right now going to see how we are taking Duo and Pops to a distribution level, which is kind of similar to ready-to-cook popcorn, okay? Once these products start to get there, then we have to start working our way through from 500,000 stores to 1,000,000 stores. Now, that journey of 500,000 to 1,000,000 stores also requires a portfolio development, right? And that is what we are kind of fully completing right now, because it's very difficult for us to get to 1,000,000 stores without the right portfolio of 5 rupee products. So hitherto we've not really had, you know, a lot of 5 rupee products in our portfolio. And 5 rupee popcorn is a difficult one to use, because it's, you know, it's pretty voluminous and freight, and therefore freight intensive, and therefore it's difficult to ship long distance, not very profitable. So we now have in our portfolio what we curated is like four SKUs in 5 rupees. We have 2 SKUs in chocolates, which are Duo Peanuts and Duo Coconut. Then we have 1 SKU in ready-to-eat snacks, which is the Duo Crunchies product, which is the pan product. And then we have 1 SKU in breakfast cereal, which is the shells product. So we're going to be refining this 5 rupee product. This 5 rupee product will play a very large role for us as we go down the pop strata. So I'll give you an example. We were just about a couple of weeks ago driving back from a town called Vidisha, which is in MP, back to Bhopal. And we had completed our market working that day in Vidisha, and we were going to be returning from Bhopal that evening or that night. And we stopped over at a small town, small wholesaler, very small guy. And, you know, we presented the portfolio to him, but after 10 minutes, he said, you know, but I only sell 5 rupee products. That was it, right? And this plays out in town after town, because another town I remember this happened was, in that town we had a coverage, a decent coverage, but some of the wholesalers we went to, they said, no, 5 rupees, more than 5 rupees, we don't sell. This, I think, was a town called Thiruvanthapuram. So, this is very important. And that is why actually the FMCG business moats are so example. It is not so simple as just saying, oh, I want to hire 1,000 salesmen and I'm going to cover these stores. You need to have the right products. You need to have the right combination. You need to have differentiation. You need to balance all of these. So it's a great question. Thank you for asking that. And I would say, you know, we'll keep you posted on coverage, but not right now. Right now, our immediate priority is let's drive Duo, Pops. And now peanut butter with these 10 rupee LUPs, how do we accelerate distribution of these? Okay? Thank you, Bajaj.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sachin. So my first question is, so if you look at our product portfolio, you know, we have a couple of categories where we create category. And then, or maybe very early category creation process. And few categories where, you know, the product is already interesting, but we kind of take market share.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Desai, your voice is breaking.
Yes, user, thanks.
You are able to hear me?
Yes.
Maybe just decide your distance from the microphone here. Huh? This was better. Bolo.
Okay. So, sir, we have a product portfolio where categories, we created category like popcorn, or we were early in the category creation like peanut butter. And these are some of the categories like ready to eat or breakfast cereal for chocolates, where already the categories were there and we were trying to create our space for the, you know, our product. So, given this to, you know, well, why is it that not give higher bandwidth to the first category where we have right to win, you know, we are entry barriers created, because some of these categories are very large outside India. So, you know, can you elaborate on your thought process, you know, how do you allocate resources between these two?
Okay, thank you. I'll try and answer your question, but I didn't get, there were parts in it, I think, that were missing in the middle, but I'll try and answer it, okay? Huh? All right. So, thank you. So, I think, look, if you see our approach in each of the categories that we've entered, we have one niche in it, if you call, or one major component of it, where we've become market leaders. All right? So, let's look, start with ready to cook. We've entered ready to cook, we entered it with popcorn, and we are dominant players in popcorn. No question. Okay? Then let's say ready to eat. We entered with ready to eat popcorn, extruded snacks, and tortilla chips. We've become dominant players in ready to eat popcorn. Right? That's the category which drives us. And therefore, by Because we have right to win, right? We have more scale in popcorn. We are able to leverage our advertising, which happens on ready to cook, right? So, but it is the one business which is driving the total growth. Then let's take a look at spreads. We didn't launch chocolate spreads. We went in with peanut butter. We were not even the first player in peanut butter, right? We were the second player in peanut butter. But we built the category and we got dominance in the category, right? Now, come to breakfast cereals. We've entered most of the sub-segments within it. As I said, other than muesli, we were in everything. Granola, value-added oats, extruded plain, extruded Centrefilled. But we clearly have huge right to win and in Centrefilled cereals, and we are not the largest right now, but we are the, if you will, the most widely distributed. And the most widely distributed will become the largest, right? We were not the largest in peanut butter because we came in number two, right? But we came in from number two, and in a couple of years, we became number one, right? So the same thing will happen, let's say, in breakfast cereals also. So, and in chocolates, we've got the Duo Coconut, which we are the only people, who are selling it. And, we've also got an attractive peanut proposition. Now, we'll see where, which one of these lends itself. It could well be coconut because we are the first entrance into coconut. As one of my old colleagues, Kalpesh, who used to run Mars in India till recently, when he met me in the changing room, he says, "Yeah, boss, आप तो 60 रुपए का, हम तो 60 रुपए का बेच रहे हैं, आप 10 रुपए का बेच रहे हो, तो हमारा क्या होगा इसका?" तो ऐसे पार्टनर को तो आपको देखना पड़ेगा, ऐसे दोनों वेरी यू आर वेरी बिग गाइज यू नो. सो द पॉइंट आई एम मेकिंग इज दैट इन ईच कैटेगरी वी नीड टू हैव वन थिंग विच इज द यू नो कॉलेज फुट इन द डोर, कॉलेज कंपेटेटिव एडवांटेज, राइट टू विन, समथिंग दैट कैन पावर अस. इफ यू हैव वन देन ऑल द अदर्स फॉल इन टू प्लेस. यू डोंट नीड टू वर्क सो हार्ड. सो लेट मी गिव यू एन एग्जाम्पल. As we talked to you about it earlier, we started the process of building some ATFL walls, POX walls in the stores, right? Because Kellogg's had what we called the wall. We had our own walls, right? It's not in tens of thousands of stores, a reasonable number of stores. It's getting us the traction. You can see it in the volume. But the biggest benefit was we focused on POX, Centrefilled cereals, but along with that, we got visibility of everything else. And retailers started stocking those products, which otherwise he may not have stocked it. So that's the critical piece. We need credibility with the retailer, right, and the consumer with just one segment in each of these categories. Once you get that, then the others come into place. So, for example, let's take a look at spreads. We are dominant players in peanut butter, right? Yeah, you can see the numbers. So anybody can say, yes, a lot of competitors, but look at our growth figures. Look at our volume growth figures for the last 4 years. That doesn't look like that, we are losing share. It doesn't look like it at all. Even though we said that we gained share in some parts and lost in others. So, that has given us the credibility to go into chocolate spreads. Now, chocolate spreads is a very small business right now. But, I was in a customer's visit 2 days ago. In that shelf of chocolate spreads, we had 50% of the facings. And now, as we are modifying our portfolio, we'll probably get to 75% of the facings. So, we won't be as large as Nutella today. But we will be larger than Nutella tomorrow. Tomorrow means in the future. And the reason is, if we have the giant share of facings, it means we are getting the giant share of transactions. And if you're getting the giant share of transactions, you're getting the giant share of consumers. And if you're getting giant share of consumers, you'll have giant share of share. Okay? So of market. So bottom line, just to sum it up, yes, we continue to work on category creation. We will find the segments within each of these five categories that we compete in, where we are very good, we are differentiated, we will drive those hard, and we will use that power to actually gain share across the category. That's the broader game plan. It's very important question, okay? Thank you very much for raising it. Okay, I think, Yusuf, that's it. I think with that, we should close. Or?
Okay, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Okay, no, that's it. Thank you. Thanks, Yusuf, and thanks, Ajay. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time out to join us. It's been a pleasure, as always. And we'll keep you updated and look forward to giving you a greater update as we, work steadily towards our mission of becoming the best performing, the most respected food company. Thank you on behalf of Shri Mohan.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.